Judith Kampfner, and it was a Corporation for Independent Media production for BBC Radio 3, first broadcast on the 11th of September last year. This is Radio 3, 10:30, and now the highlights from last Saturday's Proms Plus Late, which took place in the Elgar Room at the Royal Albert Hall.
Hello and welcome. I'm Louise Fryer from BBC Radio 3 and I'm going to be introducing our performers this evening. We're going to be hearing some music played by fiddler Jack Smedley and pianist John Lowry. They specialise in a selection of contemporary and traditional Scottish music. But first, we're going to hear from our poet this evening, who's Hannah Silver. So let's welcome her to the stage, Hannah Silver.
This first one's called Talking to Silence. Cutting, 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 sickening. Doubt. Doubting tongues. Doubting to decorate this speech. Sick of me talking to 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 silence. Risk thinking, sinking, sickening, kick towards speaking, doubtful, listening. Look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, sick of me, sick of me, sick of me, sick of me, tell her, tell how, talking to, licking, licking, looking, looking, sick of swallowing. Dividing, watch how this divided space breathes, separates into you, into you, into you, to you, to reflection is licking me, spitting me out like an unwanted diary entry. I have become graffiti, engraved on the inside of this bottom lip. I spill myself, slip. I see this is reflection. Is this C-I-E-E-E, reflect, or E-E-E, I see this is reflection. Is this, I see this, and it breaks. Drown, down, own, gone now. Someone, and my dot now rotting over eye, a blood cut in the memory clot to the other herself. Ish, 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 she is all speech underneath, all speech and sound. I hook her and fling back. This is what I mean by dancing. Join, join, join. I am going to be to going, am I? Joy, joy. Talk, talk. I'll take these words and make some sense for you, 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 for you. Risk my mind speaking in your mind for tonight. Risk being my thoughts for tonight. Risk thinking my words tonight. Fight my words tonight. Read the graffiti from the inside of this throat and redesign these lines in your own minds.
Thank you.
So yeah, this is the one that I wrote while walking home. It's quite a political one. I hope that's all right. It's basically, it's like a letter written by a 10-year-old boy to Colonel Gaddafi. Gaddafi, 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 Gaddafi. I'm not going to tell you my name, Gaddafi, but I am going to tell you my age, Gaddafi. My age is 10, Gaddafi, and I am going to tell you about a game, Gaddafi, a game that I play, Gaddafi. I play with my friends, Gaddafi. You can play it alone, Gaddafi, or play it with friends, Gaddafi. Go into a room, Gaddafi, a room with strong walls, Gaddafi, strong floor and strong ceiling, Gaddafi, and choose a word, Gaddafi, not any word, Gaddafi, but carefully, Gaddafi, you carefully choose, Gaddafi, an immense word, Gaddafi, with immense meaning, Gaddafi, with immense meaning to you, Gaddafi, Gaddafi. And with your friends, Gaddafi, all together, Gaddafi, together you chant, Gaddafi, you chant that word, Gaddafi, over and over, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, over and over. We chose a word, Gaddafi. We chose this word, Gaddafi. We chant, Gaddafi, 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 over and over. Gaddafi, 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 together. Gaddafi, 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 loudly. Gaddafi, 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 all through, Gaddafi. The night, Gaddafi, and through, Gaddafi. The day, Gaddafi. The Gaddafi night, the Gaddafi day. Gaddafi, Gaddafi, Gaddafi. Other words might be quicker, Gaddafi, but this word, Gaddafi, this word takes longer, Gaddafi. We stay in the room with strong walls, strong floor, strong ceiling, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, for day after day after day, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, week after week after week, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, until, Gaddafi, at last, Gaddafi, one morning, Gaddafi, one morning, the word is the same as all other words, Gaddafi, but we keep on chanting, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, until the word loses its meaning completely, and we keep on chanting, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, we chant our way through this loss of meaning until we become a Gaddafi of horses galloping, Gaddafi, Gaddafi, Gaddafi.
Jack Smedley on the violin and John Lowry on the piano, ending that selection of highlights from last Saturday's Proms Plus Late. Also featured was the poetry of Hannah Silver, and the programme was introduced by Louise Fryer. Well, now on Radio 3, the essay in the final programme marking the 40th birthday of the Interrail Pass, Diane Samuels writes a postcard to her younger self, recalling her experience of travelling by Interrail across Europe.
On my way to Brighton to visit my 21-year-old son, investigating what platform is where in the capacious barn that is Victoria Station, I glimpse you as I approach the automatic ticket machine that wasn't there then. Over twice your age now, I see you hurl open your arms with glee to greet your childhood friend and travelling companion. Both studying history at different universities, there's no hiding the thrill to be back together for your summer break, ready to set off on your girls, sorry, independent young women's adventure, for weren't we the right-on feminists, unlike our mothers? And what about those tank tops and denim shorts that fray at the edges? Didn't you cut them down yourself, delighting in the anarchy of an uneven line around the thighs? Her hair naturally curly, yours newly permed. I almost want to abandon my boy in Brighton and make off with you on the train to Dover. Oh, look at your luggage. I couldn't fail to recognise that orange rucksack, 70s nylon in 1981. You don't kid me. I see you bearing the load and pretending that you can cope with it, no matter how ridiculously heavy. Although I confess that I still overpack too, just in case the weather turns or the night is cold and the one pullover gets wet or the small towel isn't big enough. Maybe it's residue from the refugee mentality, inherited from grandparents who made the journey from Russia and Poland across Europe for real. You are just playing at making a big expedition, dipping into the continent, almost 21 yourself, and relishing the privilege of picking which choice bits to explore at leisure. This was a round trip with a home at the end of it. The forebears made it one way and had to find that home. When my son went into railing last year, he and his friends didn't start out on the train, oh no. They took a plane to Venice at some unearthly hour from Luton. Flying, far more expensive in your day, is now the budget option. You can't interrail on the Eurostar, my son explained to me. He and his artist friends had better make the most of it, because by all accounts we're running out of time. The window to cheap air travel is beginning to close as fuel prices rise and resources dwindle. If the time comes for his 21-year-old offspring to venture across Europe, they might well begin by heading for the ferry again, to Calais, as you are. Or maybe they'll hike through the tunnel that was still 7 years away from construction when it was your turn. I'm going to try not to offer any advice to you, because you probably won't listen to it anyway. Although I would suggest that you try to find a way to go to the opera in Verona's glorious amphitheatre. You two have both fallen in love with theatre, and you wish you could make it your lives. She wants to act and you want to write, although you don't dare realise it yet. But you will. You're still afraid of the danger of being a grown-up creative. You need to see how the big guys managed it first, want to consume the great art of the great masters. Go ahead, see what you can find. Get an eyeful of the canvas, oil and marble in the flesh of the frescoes and ornate ceilings and palisades. You are not seeking everyday contemporary Europe, but former enduring glories. Those guidebooks are your intoxicating treasure maps as you pore over them in the six-seater compartment. And the question of whether the statue of David in Florence is or is not circumcised again comes up. David himself was Jewish, after all, but then Michelangelo and his models were not. He cut the stone, so he got to make the body in his own image. Remember this. The creator can call the shots and affirm their world for the world. Plus, they get to choose the body of their dreams as inspiration, too. After the ferry, after changing stations in Paris and relishing a baguette filled with camembert, You'll be pleased to hear that these are now commonplace in British stations too. You find the train that will transport you by night across the Alps. And in the morning, when you're stale as yesterday's croissant, waking in a haze of stiff body parts you didn't know could ache, on making a visit to the loo to freshen your face, do look out and up through the steamy window to see the peaks rise above. Can you see yourself singing on high, just like the novice nun Maria, thrilling to the sound of their music, about to leave the convent forever to find love and face the political dangers of life in chocolate box Salzburg of the late 1930s? You plan to go to Austria, don't you? Let's see what you make of it. But first, there's Italy. Nothing is booked ahead. As soon as you arrive in Verona, you head for tourist information and get a list of cheap pensions, a map, and trek off to knock on the doors and see if any can provide a twin room. It's such a blessed relief to be able to dump the rucksack safely and head into town to drink in the Roman medieval Renaissance delights, including the 13th century bridge, the amphitheatre empty of its audience, stage bare in the middle of the day, frescoes and crypts. Yes, I recommend that you immerse yourselves in the Christian heritage in which you are so unschooled. Get over the teachings in your Jewish school that Christ was no more than an unsuccessful and minor complainant in Roman-occupied Palestine, and his legacy has been used to oppress your people for generations. Allow yourselves to be drawn by the masterly portrayals of Madonna and Child and Crucifixion. You already have Michelangelo's Pietà in St. Peter's, Rome, at the top of the must-see list. Let the marble speak to you. Drink those black and frothy cappuccinos al fresco as you rest in the sunshine and try to work out what it means to be a Brit, a Jew, a woman, a European in the second half of the 20th century. Relish this freedom to roam on foot and leap on a train, at any time, for the 21 days that your passes allow, without being questioned or searched or carted off somewhere unspeakable or sent back to where you don't belong. Of course, this is Western Europe. The Iron Curtain is still drawn across the continent. One day you will have a son who will fly to Venice before he nips to Bratislava in a new old country called Slovakia, for Czechoslovakia is no more. Then he heads for Berlin, where the young are drawn like filings to the magnet of a thriving contemporary art scene. He stays in East Berlin in a hostel before going to a music festival in Hamburg, the same city that his father's parents had fled as children in 1933. He wants to be in the now, whilst you reach out into the past. You've seen them before, but look closely again, please, when you visit Florence's Accademia at Michelangelo's row of uncompleted prisoners, revealing how the sculptor peels away the layers of rock to release the living form already hiding within. I'm there beside you, on a long weekend away just before the old millennium ends and new one begins, a writer still learning to believe she can live an adult creative life. A prisoner emerging chip by chip from a heritage that is the rock from which she is made, but needs to be reformed constantly to evolve, to breathe. Oh, and there's an ice cream parlour near the Uffizi where you can get the best cantaloupe gelati in the city. And don't moan too much either about the searing heat. When you reach Austria, you will miss the warm and feel the chill. Why not Spain or Belgium or Holland? The rail ticket will take you anywhere in Western Europe. Why do you choose to visit Austria? I wish I could remember. Why do you put aside 2 or 3 days to stay in Innsbruck in the Tyrolean Alps? From the moment you arrive, wearing the shorts you'd worn a couple of summers ago working on kibbutz near the Jordanian border in Israel, and check into the old town bed and breakfast where the landlady wears traditional white blouse and embroidered dress, you and your friend feel a frisson of alienation and yet also a strange sense of enchantment. You marvel with incredulity at the lederhosen worn by ordinary fellows with everyday ease, thrill to the open vistas from every street, the circle of mountains all around, the fresh air, the little train climbing into the Alps, the peak at the empty bobsleigh run from the 76 Winter Olympics, a long walk past chalets into the fir forest of grim-like green, collecting perfect cones of all sizes and almost leaving behind a trail of stones just in case you get lost. It's a fairy tale come true. As you board the train for Vienna, your excitement is mounting. You are almost at the door of Freud's house. Hear the music from the Mozart Museum. Dance to the Strauss waltz. See the original Klimts and Schielers, whose images you display in postcard form on your bedroom walls at college. Spot the statues of the enlightened and despotic Hohenzollerns, whom you both studied to bits for A-level. But something is going to happen in Vienna. Something subtle yet telling that takes you by surprise. A tram ride from the station to the hostel, you leave your travel-weary load and find a coffee house. Dithering over the cakes, a table is not forthcoming and the waitress is abrupt in her manner. I recall a Yiddish story about a traveller heading towards a town. He meets two people returning from it. The first says that it's the friendliest place they've ever visited. The second says that the people are mean and it's a dreadful place. Yes, the town is the same town. You find what you see. In Vienna, you too find coldness and feel a dull thud in your bellies. Are you looking with or looking for latent hostility? As you walk the city streets for 4 hours, exploring what is where, trying to find a way into its heart, you still find no warmth. Let me recommend that you do not need to stay where you feel uncomfortable. You have a magic train pass in your pocket. You have a rucksack that may be heavy, but it still fits your back. You can leave. In the evening haze, you ask your old friend the question that only the free can ask. Do you fancy checking out of Vienna right now, changing plans and heading for, well, anywhere else? You know a university friend who's living in Paris. He has a one-bedroom apartment. It has enough floor space in the living room for two. He said to drop by and always welcome. He'll show you a good time. I suggest that you go for it. 6 hours in total in Vienna, and the evening train to France greets you like it always had your name on it. Once in Paris, you find a phone box and call your friend, David. He is just back from teaching English, and yes, come by. He is pleased to see you. Big hugs, and then wrinkles his nose. No soft pedalling. You stink. Have a shower. And having washed off the train, you are indeed shown a very good, hilarious, and modern time in Paris. First, a meal at a fondue restaurant in a Montmartre basement, where the wine is served in baby bottles and you suck it through a teat. David merrily explains that sucking in alcohol through narrow tubes puts it more directly into your bloodstream. Then, onto a cinema that repeatedly shows the Rocky Horror Picture Show. David provides the lighters to light and the rice to throw at the screen. Tomorrow night he'll take you to a disco if you let him. Get dancing, girls, to the beat of your own time. When I arrive in Brighton, my son tells me that on his recent trip, he spent less than a full day in Vienna. He made the very most of it, though, and took in about 5 galleries, thought the art very nice, was chastised for playing a World Cup vuvuzela too loud. Oh, and he found a great 5-star hotel with luxurious toilets, where he made full use of the facilities. Did you used to do that too, he asked, use the posh hotel loos? You know, it never occurred to me. So note to self, P.S. you do not have to bear with all those holes in the floor. But he didn't want to hang around too long in the Austrian capital either, because they were keen to get to Berlin. He picked up messages on the hostel internet that a crowd of other friends were already in the German capital, and swiftly headed for the city that the young are now readily making their own.
That was Diane Samuels with her Interrail postcard. The producer of the series was B.T. Rubens. This is BBC Radio 3. It's just gone 11 o'clock and now Late Junction with Max Reinhardt. Max, Berio sequenzas for solo instruments seem to be becoming something of a Late Junction feature at the moment.
Well, you could say they're a Max obsession at the moment, and they are. Ever since I saw Alina Ibrahimova play one in an installation piece at Manchester International Festival,
she's fantastic.
It's been a fixation.
Yes, she's a superb violinist.
But I must now say welcome to Thursday night, Late Junction. Around midnight, we'll be saying goodbye to August with an infectiously joyous session in which Brazilian Londoner Cibeli and Argentinian musical Y-boy Alex Crittier and percussionist and composer Simon Limbrick create four new pieces together. But right now, here's a nod to our capital city, which has turned out to be such a great place to hold the Olympics and now the Paralympics this month. Lord Kitchener said it best when he arrived on the Empire Windrush just before the last Olympics that were held here in 1948. London is the place for me.
London is the place for me. London, this lovely city. You can go to France or America, India, Asia or Australia, but you must come back to London City. Well, believe me, I am speaking broad-mindedly. I am glad to know my mother country. I've been traveling to countries years ago, but this the place I wanted to know. London, that's the place for me. To live in London, you are really comfortable, because their English people are very much sociable. They take you here and they take you there, and they make you feel like a millionaire. So London, that's the place for me. At night, when you have nothing to do, you can take a walk down Shaftesbury Avenue. There you will laugh and talk and enjoy the breeze and admire the beautiful scenery of London. That's the place for me. Yes, I cannot complain of the time I have spent. I mean, my life in London is really magnificent. I have every comfort and every sport, and my resident is at Hampton Court. So London, that's the place for me. We'll be right back.
Serbia's Boban Markovic Orchestra with their take on A.R. Rahman's Mere Yara Dildara from the Bollywood crime flick Kabhi Na Kabhi, which, as it goes, slumped at the box office. The soundtrack sold well, though, and if that tune sounds curiously familiar, it's also a staple in the sets of the UK's Bollywood brass band on their non-stop tour of festivals. I'm Max Reinhardt, and you're listening to Lake Junction on Radio 3. If you feel the urge to comment or express profundities and or banal musings, or banal musings, you could say, you can tweet us at BBC Radio 3, or text 83111, or email late.junction@bbc.co.uk, preferably while we're on air. This next piece might also sound familiar if you've been listening to Lake Junction throughout this week. It's Not Just More Idle Chatter, the third and final piece in Paul Lansky's Idle Chatter trilogy. Paul describes it as a stubborn refusal to let a good idea alone. Listen out for the middle section, where you'll swear you can almost understand the chattering, and note the background voices who become ever more dominant as they sing in counterpoint.